This is session 223, recorded on December 18th, copyright 2009, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Happy Hanukkah. Good morning.
Does it start today?
No, it's many days into it. But you're getting into the good parts, the battle of the Festival of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail, pick up what questions you have from yesterday. Or the last session, because it was all new for you, and you just heard it.
Right, I heard the last hour and 20 minutes, and I forget what I wanted to ask, except it was interesting hearing about us interacting with parallel worlds, and or in the sense that parallel worlders are starting to brush up against us, and I wondered I wondered what that meant.
Okay, in your process of taking your power as a creator,
mm-hmm.
the power is becoming evident. Now, those that know that they engage in other universes, parallel or otherwise, they always notice others who have, let's do it this way and you'll like this. We promise you'll like this. Let's say you had the ability to see the recently departed.
Yeah.
Okay. They would start noticing, wait a minute, she could see me. Wait a minute, she can feel my energy. Wait a minute, get her, don't let her get away because she can see us and nobody else can see us. We've been sitting here beating these walls and nobody sees us and everybody's all pissy and weird and funky and they won't hear us and we scream and yell and throw crap and turn the lights on and off and make the phones ring and flicker and ticker and dock and all over the place. She can see us.
Mm-hmm.
Now they like that. They like that.
I believe they do.
Okay.
From that aspect, but now we're talking about parallel experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So others that are parallel experiencing it might be sometimes a little new, but yet they have the capacity to do it. But anybody that notices that they're off the beaten path of a conundrum or an anomaly,
mm-hmm.
that's interesting because you notice that every time now.
Wait a minute. Carolyn notices the anomaly, is what you're saying.
Well, you do too, Bob.
Yeah, we notice the anomalies. We were talking about they were noticing us, but you're saying we notice them.
Yes, and they notice you noticing them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes, that's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a second, they know something's up. Nobody's supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
They know.
But
are they ascended? Do they partake?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting. Well, we're not really sure. Well, let's just watch a little bit and see.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people we've passed on the path.
But see, we smile and say hello to everybody.
Carolyn, who? He just said.
Really? Really?
No, we don't. Fine. We are talking about people we encounter in the physical that are noticing us.
Yeah.
Right, Ion?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, your question, Carol?
I forget.
Well, you said we don't acknowledge everybody.
No, I said we acknowledge everybody.
Oh.
And he says, you do? Quite the opposite.
No, we don't acknowledge everybody.
Hmm. Well, we kind of smile at most people, or I do.
Well, that's the point. Most people, yes.
And what did
some people you smile to, they tip their head and hi, you know,
mm-hmm.
nice weather, nice day, you have a very beautiful body, you know, that kind of thing. Wait, that's another conversation. Sorry. You come to a different place where others are almost attracted into, and you want to even have a chat with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? More so than others.
We want to have a chat with, you know.
Well,
yeah, just getting that sentence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah, but see, it's different. Carolyn will engage because it's polite. You'll only talk to the ones that you desperately want to have a conversation with and engage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I haven't found too many of those.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran Beach Bob off, so.
No, we just moved to another time slot.
Magic, ta-da!
We ran him off politely.
Mm-hmm.
Killing me softly.
Did Beach Bob miss us?
Bob, stop. I'm asking some questions
here. I didn't know.
So parallel worlders are noticing us because we're a little more in our process. Are you saying in our process of ascension? I think I'm.
No. Well, that would be the true statement, but no. They're just noticing that you're noticing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I'm not conscious. I'm noticing people as parallel worlders.
Yes, you are.
I have been thinking this kind of. I mean, Ian told us that. You know, we're, each day is a different world when we go along the thing.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, these people, they don't look that cool, but I guess they're parallel worlds. That is the conscious thinking, but maybe our non-physical is radiating a lot more, quote, knowing than my sub-vocalization
says. Your engine's running hotter.
Yeah.
Your engine's running hotter, and they're noticing your elevated temperature.
Hmm.
That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, because I'm walking by the church and saying, now, how could that be in a parallel world? How come half the clocks are this? And so I'm thinking about this parallel world experience all the time on the walkway. So that's emanating beyond what I know.
Yeah, we're thinking and talking about it.
And hear what you said. Hear what you just said. That's emanating more than I know.
Yeah. More, and what I mean by know is what my normal consciousness.
Well,
I know, but I'm not thinking I know. I'm not sub-vocalizing to myself that I know.
Well, we talk about it, that's knowing, or that's thinking we know.
We're engaging.
I think I know.
We're engaging the idea, and I guess that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's enough, right, Aya?
Okay, in due to we can do more.
Yes.
So, yes, and that's the next question. What more can we do to enhance this experience?
Oh, my stars, the thing we talked about last night with that you've already taken that on and gave up a migraine over it. That's the process.
Uh-huh.
But if you remember, you just listened to the recording, okay? Get off the gas when you're going to do this. When you're going to do this, we said plain. Get off the gas. It's
mm-hmm.
okay to put the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
don't set this into motion and then try to slow down your process by stepping on the gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? You went right ahead and did 4,000 things and set your conduit on fire and then wonder why you wake up with a headache or a pressure.
No, I didn't wonder why. I said, oh, that's why. I mean,
oh, well, all right. Now you're even going to blame it. There you go. You named it and blamed it. It used to be name it and claim it. Well, now it's name it and blame it. You know?
Well, and that's how I seem to do things. I burn my hand. I trip my feet. And
but that's your place. That's your place of bringing forth the empirical. You want empirical.
Yeah.
Empirical evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
No Venetian coins. No,
yeah.
No. That's not
empirical, physical. I want a physical representation. Yeah.
Very good. Meanwhile, J.W. is dragging home samovars. His
mm-hmm.
wife is wondering where he's going, that these things show up when he hasn't been, or if,
mm-hmm.
if she wasn't aware of it. She
mm-hmm.
was home, and he was too. The next thing you know, bam, here's this very wonderful copper samovar.
Wow.
These boxes show up with information.
Mm-hmm.
Things are kind of coming along, and they find things in the doorway and that aren't there, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of interesting from that place of allowance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're not fussing about that. It just slows you down. We're not
mm-hmm.
fussing. It just slows you down. When it gets to where it doesn't matter and you think you know and then you know, then that's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a simple process. It becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard of normalization. Those are the words. A standard of normalization. Once you are ascending, which you are, once you come to this place, your questions change, as they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not wondering, when am I going to get my money check, and where's my lover, and
mm-hmm.
how do I get a red Ferrari so I can go to the market? market when I want to. Well, you know, it's like, well, wait. Once you get to the place where you're close to, that doesn't even come up in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond your span of knowing or wanting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm good with that. Bob,
you want to ask about the gym?
Whoa, easy. What? We've got some questions.
Okay.
Well, who are you saying easy to?
Don't go into Bob yet.
Carolyn's fixing to give up the ghost and
Well, I was going to ask Bob if he remembered what else I wanted to know.
Well, it was about your dream.
Uh-huh.
Spill it.
Actually, I don't remember my recent last night dream. There was just too much head expansion, I think.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember anything from last night.
Well, okay. When you woke up and lost your knee pillow, what caused you to lose your knee pillow?
Don't know.
That's weeks ago, right?
No, he's just talking about last night.
Oh, you lost your knee pillow again?
Well, I always sort of bounce them around, but...
But she lost it enough that it woke her up. You know, with your knees hitting together, that's where you lay. Well, I mean, we're not being forward. We're trying to get you to the place where you remember where it was that you remember.
I know, and I can't get there from here.
Okay, remember we can do the colors. We won't give it away because you want to do this. It's your creation. It's fine. But we'll give you a little hint of the blue sky, the different blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. That's weird. And you can start looking and seeing pictures in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like, you know how you play the game where you look at the clouds and go, well, that looks like a teapot.
Yeah.
Or that looks like a vagina. Or different things look like different things in topical conversation.
Right.
Well, it was almost like that. Only problem is, the difference last night is you were flying in it.
Ah. Hmm.
Looking at takes a different focal gaze.
Wow.
And you were so excited and so delighted that you were you had opened this capacity to, you know, up and away.
Wow, nice.
What capacity did you open, Carol?
To up and away.
Is what you
to
did.
To fly.
You did that in your dream.
I did. I can see myself doing that. Because I did it.
All right. Now, in the next one, part of it was, there was a very huge significance of a pomegranate. And there's not any, you don't even give a great huge significance to a pomegranate.
Right, true.
And we didn't say magnesium, that's a deal breaker, but we said pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
And you sliced it in half, and it was just all seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was asking questions about 10,000 miles an hour of how to eat it, do we eat it, why do we eat it, what's the point, and no. But it was a very interesting cross-section of flying in the troposphere and then coming back to then dealing with halved pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And there's more, but you'll get it soon enough. Because if you want to, you can put this thing on replay. You can TiVo your dream state. So you can keep dreaming the same dream and do it so often that it becomes just your knowingness.
Uh-huh.
And then you can remember. That's okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, Bob, you can go. Can Bob go?
No. I'm going to prompt you. I will give you an opportunity. What about the name of the person? I don't know if I'm supposed to say it. The person...
Don't say it. That's okay, but we know. Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
What do you think of her being part of the pretty influential group, Carolyn? She was a spokesman for them.
Right. Yeah, the person that we were supposedly bumping into.
Yeah, speaking to. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, well, that was, I brought that up at the beginning. It's interesting that we're brushing up against these people, and that's why I asked, what more can we do to work on that or have more interaction? Is there...
Just relax and allow, and it'll come to you.
Yeah, we're doing it.
You can't push it, because if you push it, you send off, you. It's better to let them think you're stupid than open your mouth and proving it.
Right. And then the people on the beach who have this...
Canopy,
very good word. You mentioned that they were of interest. Can you say more about them?
Well, you know, the one that's the very hairy one?
Mm.
Well, there's a man and a woman, and the man has white hair, and he's maybe hairy.
Mm-hmm. The notice that changing.
The hairiness?
Mm-hmm, and the color of it.
Okay.
So what does that mean?
What was your question?
Yeah, what's your question, Carol? So his hair is changing. Is that, what does that mean to us, Carol?
No. What was the question? The question is, how do we bump into, what do we pay attention to? How do we pay attention to this and engage this process? And so we gave you the empirical high sign for you to look at when he has darker body hair than he does before, then something's going on and you can go over and say hi.
Well, I have no desire to talk to them for some reason.
Well, it's interesting because at the first of the season when they came back about 6 weeks ago, I was in a particularly upbeat mood and passed by them and I said, oh, welcome back. And they just kind of didn't know what, you know, I don't know that they glared at me. There might have been a bit of a smirk and I just kept going. And
smirk on your part.
On their part, and haven't talked to them since. Kind of avoid them.
Well, are these... What?
Well, now, wait a second. You didn't know where they came from,
mm-hmm.
And here you have the audacity to notice that they've been absent and now they're back.
Right.
Do you understand? If someone was in the witness protection program, mm-hmm. and you says, oh, it's good to see you again.
Yeah.
What are they supposed to say? Yes, since we got our names changed and got rid of the thing and the mob's not after us anymore, it's great. But thanks so much for uncovering us. We really appreciate it. We've got to have this veil of anonymity, you know, undone.
Mm-hmm.
When you're whistling, pointing to the man up on the wall, there they are, them. Kind of thing. Now, we're being cheeky from that standpoint, but see, once they've ascended to do this, what you're doing...
Ascended to do what we're doing.
No, once you get to a place where you're doing what they're doing, you start understanding why your engagement and anonymity becomes very important.
You mean our anonymity, how we don't want to engage them becomes important.
No, how once you come to the place where they are already, you won't want to have engagement with every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Right, so are they parallel worlders?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beg
your pardon?
We already made that clear.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't know it was in last night you made it
Sorry.
Clear. Right? You made it clear last night. I think you did, but it's very fast, and maybe you didn't.
Yes.
See, the thing is, they sit there oddly. It's definitely odd that they're there, I guess, for a long time. She's just sitting there reading, and he's sitting there lying there. I noticed he walked a bit today, but they, to me, are immovable, and they seem to enjoy sitting there impassive every day. So are they doing other things? I mean,
While they're sitting there, are they off somewhere else traveling?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Are they resting from something they've been doing?
Just like enjoying the beach It's almost like they have that little space that belongs to them somehow.
Yeah, that's what they do. They have.
It does.
Yeah, and does that have anything to do with the fact that they do they have to carve out their own space? Because they're parallel.
They wouldn't. No, they don't. But they do. They don't have to. They choose to.
But the what's it mean to say they're parallel worlders? Because we're talking.
What do you think it means, Bob?
Well, we're parallel worlders, and we don't do much consciously. We're doing a lot, but we don't remember.
So I guess the better question is how ascended did you have to be to enjoy this process that you've ascended high enough to do but can't remember?
Yeah, and I don't know. So are they the ones who are aware that we're noticing them, or they're noticing that we would notice that there are parallel worlds? Are they noticing we're emanating that?
You were looking back to see if you were looking. They were looking back to see if you were looking back to see if they were looking back at me.
Yeah.
And she was cute as she could be, and she was looking back at me. If I was looking back to see if she was looking back at me, well, she was looking back at me to look back to see if I was looking back to see if she was looking back at me. After you get through with that about another 45 minutes, you're kind of going, "Do what?" Well, okay, Bob. They are where they are. You are where you are. They are in a new place. They remember, but it's still a little new. They don't want to break any rules. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They don't want to break anybody's hearts. They also don't want to screw the pooch. Meaning, they don't want to bring great attention to themselves.
Okay, so let's go back. What did I ask? I said,
do they notice us?
I am saying that people are noticing parallel worlders around here. I'm noticing we're noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
Are they some of the people that I was referring to?
Yes.
All right, but we are not constantly thinking of them as parallel worlders. We're just thinking, well, there's an odd bunch. What a silly way to live every day.
We talk about them a lot as if it matters.
We pity them. They got nothing to do but to sit there all day. It's just terrible. I don't like lying on the beach. I'm glad I get to run in the water. But to sit there all day, every day in the same spot is silly to me. And I thought they were retarded almost. So now we're finding out they're parallel worlders. Now, if you're a parallel worlder, does that mean you're ascendants a little bit? Because, you know, there are people who live in other worlds and they don't know anything. See, we need to clarify. If someone's a parallel worlder, you have to be a bit ascended to do that. I guess you do.
Remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, to remember it. So Ion just implied
there. What? You can't otherwise.
Right. So there are people living in the parallel worlds, which are duplicates of us, I guess, that don't know. They're just like the average citizen here, right?
But they're not parallel traveling.
Yeah, they're not. In other words, there are people living in different worlds, and the majority of them aren't parallel world traveling.
Yeah, and you've asked him and said that at least 100 times.
No, 107.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is it's always a new day, a new Bob, a different world. We ask, it's a ritual. See what happens today, see what we find out.
He's trying to see if we change our minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, well, yeah, you can change your mind and clarify it, because as you said, we after 6 months, well, Bob, you're going to find we're saying the opposite of what we said for 6 months, so we're waiting for that one. But did you just say that they've just recently acquired this ability?
Yes.
So they are from the other world, or a other world.
Yes.
Yeah, and so they just arrived. Well, they were here last year, so they arrived through this parallel worlding process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if they found the time.
No, they arrived. They're on the beach there in a rather immobile state because they're kind of visiting. On another level, they're visiting. They're doing interworlding tourism.
Yeah.
Intermural tourism.
Right.
Right, Ion? So they're like sitting there pondering their experience a lot.
Yes, hopefully they're using their attention to enjoy the deliciousness of their ascension, to go, okay, brain, what are we going to do today? Well, Pinky, the same thing we do every day. We're going to sit right here.
do they know Jennifer? Someone? What?
Easy.
Yeah, do they know that woman we were talking about?
They draw, notice, and look back to see if she was looking back to me. And
right, so they don't know, they didn't come over together.
Well, we didn't say that, did we? We said they look and notice each other. and
but do they know each other from?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, so we got this Polo Beach.
They know themselves multi times, Bob. They multitask their worlds.
Mm.
What's that mean to you, Carolyn?
They sit there for 5 minutes on the beach and then they do the rest of their thing. And you think they're spending weeks there, and it's only 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because you have to have time, they don't.
Okay, so I'm thinking they're sitting there all day, but they're only sitting there for 5 minutes in their experience, and then they leave?
Theirs is the only one that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not staying here that long. They go back and forth.
Yeah,
I see. Well, but that's what I noticed. It was odd how they were so immobile. But that's because that's my way of picking up something odd going on, like...
That's their way of validating that they are upwardly mobile.
That's their way of showing they're upwardly mobile, rather than just mobile, like us. We're just leaves running back and forth 45 minutes each way.
And they laugh at us for expending all that energy.
Yeah.
Look, that girl, she goes tearing off over there and comes back screaming about turtles, and he's jumping on this board.
And piercing 4 million-year-old turtles just because she can.
So it's like we think they're stupid.
Unpierce them.
Yeah, so we're a polarity. We think they're stupid, and they think we're stupid.
Well, we don't necessarily say that. They get it, because see, when you get to that place, you start noticing. Notice better.
Mm-hmm. What would they be noticing? You mean?
That you're looking back to see if they were looking back to see if you were looking back to see if they were looking back.
Well, I wonder if they noticed that I walk way around when they're there, Carol. I don't walk near them. I never walk way around, but I do when they're there. I go down towards the water again. And they're probably noticing, well, I don't know if they're noticing me and seeing if they're noticing that I'm avoiding them.
Uh-huh.
But you're implying they are noticing.
They are.
Yeah. So what we got here at Polo Beach, we got Bob, Beach Bob, we got these guys, we got the other person. There's a lot of, it's a gathering place of parallel worlders here.
Mm-hmm.
Are there many over in the Grand Malaya Beach, Ion?
What do you say, many?
Many, if there are many other parallel worlders.
How many?
Are there 3 others over there?
A little more than that.
Right, but... Our beach is not a special gathering place of parallel worlders.
We didn't say that.
Okay, is our beach a special gathering place, more special than Grand Wilaya, for parallel worlders?
We can't tell the difference.
Yeah, well, just that we think it's a great beach, and we just thought, well, maybe ascended parallel worlders would think it was a good beach, too. They know a good beach. It's not so wide, empty, so vast as the Grand Wilaya Beach. But, okay, we're asking you. They don't all gravitate. All parallel worlders don't all gravitate to Polo Beach. Would you agree? Okay, all right.
If they're going to lay there for eternity, why not lay it right where the waves are fun?
Why not lay where the waves are fun? Well, which one has the waves fun?
Lahaina.
Oh, they're over there. Okay. What's the problem, Karen? You went,
I was looking at Bo's pictures, and it looked like there's a big whale jumping in front of the sunset, but he wrote in bird. So he's look how it could be a whale.
Oh, yeah, right. So he had to tell you that was a bird.
Yeah.
So what, okay, so Carol, aren't you curious about these parallel worlds? Okay.
No,
there's
no.
A question. No, we have a question.
No, I'm not curious. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because it's enough for me to know that they are, and I'll keep relaxing and allowing and find myself in their place soon enough. And then I'll be able to know what they are experiencing. I won't have to interrogate Ion for hours about it. I'll use my energy to do it myself.
But where's the mystery in that? You know what you're going to do too precisely, Karen. There's no mystery, no adventure.
Oh, but it is, because
I'm just joking.
She doesn't have to find her place of beingness. She's taking the power that creates her beingness.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I was just being cheeky. So,
no, and that's okay, but it's fun because you sometimes, not you in particular specifically, but others will grab a hold of this and go, oh, I can't do that, I can't think that thought, then that'll get me crossways, and then I'm lost, and then I have to do this again, and then there's reincarnation, and I come back as a bug, and they get all crossways of it. But if you take your power, which is what we're talking about doing, is taking your power to the point that it becomes a reconcilable experience. A reconcilable experience. Then what happens is you get to a place where you become expecting. Aspecting. Yeah, that's right. Not expecting. Aspecting. Aspecting your way.
So Carolyn, do the parallel worlders, are they curious about what's happening at Grand Malay and who's taking it over?
Ice time, no. They don't care.
They're not care about that.
That's not their thing.
What are they into?
Anything, any more than it's your affair of what they do.
Right, but
they don't care. They don't care for you to know what their reality that they're working on is.
Well,
so,
what are the parallel? We got these, like Carol and I told you, the historical trade between parallel worlds and here and emperors and leaders and that. Are they interested in that, these people, or is the woman we were talking about, is she interested in it? I mean, what are they interested in?
Ask them, Bob.
Nah. Okay.
What do you mean, you?
No, I'm not going to ask. I don't want to engage with them at this point.
Oh, okay. Well, then you can wait until you do.
Yeah.
Why would we? Where's the mystery in that? You see, Bob, there you go. You embrace it, and then you kind of go from there. Why not ferret it out? Play with it. Have a little contrast. Ask them. Hi, how are you? How are you in your world today?
So
if they say, hey, weird one, piss off. I'm in my world and you're not. So thanks for the fish.
Okay.
See, that's fine. But if you're not willing to engage and discuss it with them, why in the world would we be willing to engage and discuss it with you?
We're too sensitive. If they told us to buzz off, then we'd have to deal with that vibe every day we saw them. We're very sensitive. You think JW is sensitive, but Barbara answered, no one's more sensitive than Carol and I. You say Bob doesn't care. No, Bob, very sensitive.
No, he cares, he's just not moved.
Okay.
He cares, he's just not moved.
So we're talking about these people. And
like a tree that's standing by the water, Bob will not be moved.
Right. But he'll be bothered by them because he's sensitive. So the
dismiss them.
So when I was pointing out how you first said the first day, hi, you welcome back, or what did you say to them, Carol? Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Two words.
Yeah, which they now, you didn't know when you said that half an hour ago, that they were parallel worlders.
Right.
Now you know, so now you see they were taken aback when you said welcome back. But are they noticing, we're noticing them. This whole noticing each other, parallel worlders, that's happening with them, Ion. Right, so there are others, but that's happening. So
were looking back to see if you were looking back to see if they were looking back to see if you were looking back at me.
Yeah.
You were cute as you could be as you were looking back to see if I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me. Yeah, that's all. We covered that, I think.
Yeah, okay. when I notice them, I think of how ridiculous they are. I don't think they're parallel worlders. It's a shock to find out they're parallel worlders for a sensitive person like me. So,
well, if they're wondering how you could be able to notice them and how anyone with your vernacular could be ascended enough to notice them in the first place. Because nobody else on that entire beach notices those people.
That's weird. Because they keep their own space. They're the only ones that keep their own space. But I guess everybody is so transient. They're just coming for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only regular ones that notice who's regular. That's why we notice them.
Well, I understand that, but many people don't even see them.
I don't know what these people... Who are these unobservant people?
I can see why
they won't see them, because they got canopy, and they don't care, and they're playing with their friends, and they're only here for a few days. I can understand that. And I can understand why we notice them, because we're more regular than them. So I notice them as being regular, and I object to the way they spend their time, which is just sitting there. She's reading all day, and him just sitting there, like, not talking to her. And I did notice, shock of shock, he walked today. He went for a walk. Incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking they're stupid. They're thinking I'm stupid.
They don't care what you think.
Well, you just said they noticed that I might have noticed them.
Well, noticing and caring what you think about them is different.
Right, okay, good. So they're noticing I'm noticing them. They don't care what I think about them.
But there's a lot of other people on that beach that don't even see, that couldn't tell you they were there. There was a canopy. Never saw them, would do it in front of a jury of their peers.
I understand that because those are transient people who are only there for a few days and are with their friends. They don't even, I'm amazed they don't notice me and Carolyn.
You think? Interesting concept. Good luck with that.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that don't use that reasoning for the average people.
Exactly, because
they can't see this. They can't be seen, Carolyn.
You are all but transients. Bob.
Right. No, I get that. No, are you saying that they shouldn't be seen?
Yes.
Oh, that's a shocker, Carol. I brought us to a new place again.
And that's why when Carolyn says welcome back, they're going, oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, at what level are you that you have the ability to see me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't know that.
Of course you know, and that's why they're really shocked.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If you're able to see them, you certainly should have known that.
Yeah.
Because it'd be a little odd, don't you think?
Another case, Carol, where we do everything at a Senate level and have no clue we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Clueless in the bowels of paradise.
So should we go up and start saying hi to them more? Really bug them?
If you... Please yourself.
Yeah.
Well, what if Ion's wrong and they're not parallel worlders, Carolyn? I mean, you know, we can't totally...
You go ahead and think that. It doesn't matter either way.
You believe Ion. Okay.
Of course. All right. Yeah.
Okay, then...
Don't get upset, but just relax.
We're not. Good.
I'm a human being. We go now every day. We say, that's not the way it is.
We change. Well, and as long as you're changing toward your coming into, if you come into your power, then great. Good. Wonderful.
Yes.
If you keep going, you might even become a scientist and become and be able to disprove things, and then that'll be all you have left with.
You say we got
a stick and we poke too, isn't
yes,
it fun?
That didn't hurt. Your stick is a marshmallow. If I pull my stick, you better watch it. But the
That's right. Bob's going to beat up non-physical.
Wait a minute. I was trying to think. So, shit. It's gone. Thanks a lot,
it's
Ion.
It's gone. It's the marshmallow world.
Oh, you said if we're going, Ion doesn't matter. If we're on our direction of ascension, that's good. Doesn't matter how we're doing it on the way. If we're going, all the way, it doesn't matter. As long as we're ascending.
It does if life is a destination. But if life is a journey, then it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a destination, then you're in trouble because you may miss your way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, Calum. So there are many people...
For some people, that's a big deal. For you, it's not, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So many people...
For Barbara Ann, it is.
What's a big deal here, Alpha Barbara?
The destination.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, just hold. So if so, we're seeing many artifacts and people on the trip to the beach that other people aren't seeing. Right, Ian?
Yes.
Not
yes.
just them, we're seeing others.
Yes.
And if you're a parallel world...
Why has no one else noticed the clocks being off?
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Nobody's...
Well, because for them it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're seeing this. If we paralleled world to another place, another world, we traveled to another world, Riff Ride, are we invisible in that world?
People who can't see us.
You're
backing out of the rabbit hole when you start the conversation with an if clause, because if it's an if clause, then that has the capacity that you may not be. So it brings into question, then yes, you would be invisible, because if it has to be that, then the if so facto ramification kicks in and you would be found paralleling and being, they'd say, excuse me, sir, I need to see your papers. And you go, hey, I'm Canadian. They go, well, this isn't Canada.
No, wait, are you saying that that's why you have to be invisible?
No, it's just so much easier to be invisible, because the last thing in an ascended place you want to be is one disturbing their continuum.
Right, so
you started talking about and beat to literally to death the 418.
Yes.
Well, the reason that they're not on Forbes 500 is because that's the last place they want to be. I mean, the last place you want to be is out front and center. That's the ones they shoot at, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. But they are invisible.
What do you mean invisible? Do you know where they are? Can you see them? Are they all the way? Do they live in your neighborhood? Probably not. Are they on your island? Probably.
Okay. Did President George Bush knew about the 418 group? Could he see them?
Yes, he can make an appointment to have engagement. But just because he said, come to my house, they did not.
They did not when he asked them?
Would not.
Hmm. So the...
Because they didn't have to.
Well, this is a new aspect. So the parallel worlders...
Is it?
What?
Is it?
Is it what? A new aspect?
You're just on 34, Bob. You can't... You're not there. We've done this already.
No. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me proceed here.
I know.
Well, maybe I know what you're talking about, but I'm not interested at this point. I'm trying to stand.
Oh, well, then that's a different conversation.
Okay,
we're sorry. Proceed.
So the parallel worlders, Marilyn, we didn't know that they weren't seen.
Mm-hmm. By others.
By others. They can be seen if they want to. Do they turn a button?
No. It has to do with your place of ascension.
And the vibrational proximity thereof.
Of you and you. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you, if you ask Kamala, see those people over there? He would say, oh yeah, I see them. They're here every day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother doing that. What's the point? I am not going to waste my energy trying to prove and disprove this and that and the next thing. What's the point? That's where your mind needs to know all the details and has to right every wrong or dot every I. What's the point? Waste of time.
Participle dangled while you wait.
I'm surrounded by airheads.
Well,
unscientific airheads.
Unscientific who believe anything
in your marvelous creator. You should have created so much more, Bob.
Yeah, well, it seems we're not allowed to test anything.
Test everything. But have you not heard the concept that empirical evidence does not make it so? Because if you heard the conversation with science, taking things to tasks to prove...
Oh, okay, so your point, even if someone proves it, doesn't mean it's so.
Right.
So we can't know anything.
Well, you don't.
And
everything you do,
yeah,
you disappear.
We don't need to know anything.
Well, that's what Carolyn's trying to say, but you need to question everything. Okay, question everything. But the question, the answer isn't the problem. The question is the problem.
The questioning by Bob is the problem.
not by Bob. The question empirically is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. That's the trick. If you could just let it be and then enjoy the deliciousness that is, and if it's not delicious, then leave it alone to find one that is, everybody cohesively can enjoy the exact same square inch of beach at the exact same time, and nobody would ever notice.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they do that, Carol? How does everybody stand on the same part of the beach?
Because some of them are visible and some aren't. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some are stacked expanses of worlds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friend said that there never was, a few years ago, crowded beaches to the point that you couldn't move. You disagree with Ion on that point. Now, was Ion talking about other worlders were there? You were including, in, say, 8,000 on the beach, you were including the ones that nobody could see?
Well, I mean, there were 8,000 on that little bitty beach we're talking about.
I'm talking about Grand Valais, the big beach. But anyways, what? Sorry I said the number. Packed. Is Ion, she says, no, it's never that packed. Is Ion saying it's packed as you could see the other worlders? Or you would just say she's wrong and that it was packed?
It was packed.
Yeah. She just didn't notice it.
Well, okay.
Yeah, she wasn't there those days. It was packed.
Well, there those days, you can't just take part of Grand Valais Beach, can you?
What was that? You can't take part of it.
Is that a public beach? The Grand Valais Beach? Is that public?
Yeah.
Well, then it's not Grand Valais Beach.
What?
Then it's not Grand Valais Beach. Mm. It's a public beach.
Well,
that's what we call it.
We haven't really tried to get on the beach. We don't know how restricted it is. I think over at the edges, the public kind of comes down. But
you can't get an umbrella and you can't get a chair.
Chair, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not so public. Well.
Oh. And the friend, how would they know?
How would they know what?
How crowded Grand Valais Beach used to be.
Well, she's been to Maui many
times.
No,
she talked about another big public beach, Bob. Stop wasting your time.
No, we're not. This is puzzling. That's a major factor. I've been telling people for months, hey, there's a lot of people here, now there aren't.
We've talked to the guys and said, look at all their beach chairs. You've got a couple hundred beach chairs. Sometimes are they all out? Yes. That's all.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in a long time.
Never.
Yeah, so she saw, she just was been here many years, so I figure she might know something about the beaches. But she might not have been talking about Grand Valais.
Mm.
Okay, so what's interesting, so Henry VIII and Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, good. Now we're going to get to the good part. Tony, don't go to bed, honey. I'm almost about to.
This is boring.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, look. You carry on.
I don't want to carry on. I'm done.
Well, see, that's the problem. They're all excited about you being interested. You lead these Henry VIII questions. You take an active interest in this stuff. And then when I start asking stuff, I was boring with Bob. I'm going to bed. You guys can't come up with one question.
I know Bob's going for 4.5 hours last night.
Okay, Carol, you're going to find out. You're going to take us to a new place on the King Andrew.
No, thank you.
And you don't have any interest in it, but you're going to have to find out because Ion just said that you would love to hear this. Don't go to bed. So take it over, Carol. Come on, let's hear how
I'm answering emails.
No, he's not even involved, Ion. We should fire
him. And I'm more involved than you are. I'm answering emails and listening and answering questions.
Yeah, listening is not enough.
Well, that's...
You're not creating because I create something and you go, that's boring, didn't find out anything there.
No, I don't want to hear about your stupid questions. I'd love to hear about Henry the
VIII. Okay, carry on. I have no questions about Henry. You carry on. You pursue this. Maybe we can bring some new areas because we'll find out new things by your innocent questions. So stop looking at your email and engage. See? She won't engage.
In the Snicker Bar, it's very delicious because the way they form the nougat is a very interesting process because they have to temper it and make it almost like a caramelly, but then they have to bring it back to where it has a soft texture, so the caramel is a differential. And but if they get it too hard, the peanuts won't stick to it before they coat it with the flash coating of milk chocolate. So it's a very, very interesting place of putting together a Snicker bar. It's very wonderful.
And what is the nugget? What's that made of?
Nougat. Nougat is the middle of it.
Is it caramel-like?
No. Caramel's on top of it.
So
it would be the lighter part that the center of it is, that the nuts are sticking to around it.
Was it like cardboard? Like, what does it taste like? What is it?
Not sure. Well, have you ever tasted a Snicker bar, Bob?
Yep.
But
I don't.
That middle part?
I just noticed the total. I don't notice any particulars.
Okay. Rather, you know, when you cut them up into little pieces, trying that little part before you just let the whole thing slide down your throat hole.
I don't cut them into pieces.
Well, we were going to talk about doing that in the little pieces so you could enjoy them longer.
Yeah.
Try that, and you'll notice if you slice it across lots of pieces, small pieces, you'll see that in a dissection of a Snicker bar, what actually is in the center of it is called nougat.
Right, and it would look like a cracker, the cracker part?
No, not cracker. It'd be like a taffy. But it's chewy.
Oh, taffy. It's chewy. Well, that's like caramel to me.
Well, it is. But it's different than the caramel that's over the top of it.
It's over the caramel.
No, it's under the caramel.
Oh, okay.
Caramel's on top of it.
Yeah. So
it's what the nuts stick to.
Hmm. Don't the nuts stick to the caramel?
No. Caramel's on top of the nuts.
Oh, and the nuts are closer to the nugget than
nougat yes.
than the caramel.
The caramel's on the top, only on the top layer, and then that's covered in chocolate.
Yeah, and then the nuts are deeper inside, closer to the nougat.
Right.
And they have to stick. Wouldn't they just be pressed in on the nougat? Do they have to stick?
They have to stick, or it wouldn't hold together, Bob.
Yeah, it would just be too crumbly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think other bars, older bars, are crumbly, and I didn't like that.
That's right.
Too messy.
That's right, because the nougat gets hard.
Right. And it gets hard, and the nuts don't stick.
That's good. You got it.
Yeah.
Very
so
good.
That makes
hey, Carolyn, that's a new thing, and he's been enjoying the hell out of those and didn't even know what he was eating.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you could say. 2 points. First, just to finish that. So that is why it tastes better because it aesthetically appeals, its coherency appeals to the tongue or something.
The balance between the
yeah.
salty of the nuts, the sweetness of the nougat,
yeah.
and then the richness of the caramel balanced with the milk chocolate, it makes it just an exciting combination, you see. It's chewy, it's soft, it's sweet, it's salty, it's all those things all together, and it sort of enlightens your sensations.
Okay.
Because you get many types. It's not, remember the old Hershey bars, it's just a slab of milk chocolate?
Yeah.
That would be kind of boring for you. They're good, you like that, that wouldn't be a problem.
But they aren't that great, no.
Right, but the Snicker bar, see, is just very, very, very interesting because it has all those complex textures.
How long did that take to invent? Was it worked on for a long time?
No, it was not.
Just someone figured it out and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And have they been around for a long time? 20 years?
Longer than that. Way longer than that.
Oh, okay. So, the other...
The only secret that had to be before you really got into big into that business was Milton Hershey creating the slurry, which is the chocolate cacao slurry, to be able to temper it so it wouldn't get all melty fast.
You're saying that had to be developed?
Yes.
Before there
that
could be a Snicker bar?
That was just after the war.
No, just after which war? World War II?
World War II. too.
Yeah, and so you're saying that helped the later companies make their bars because of that, because of what Hershey achieved?
Yes, couldn't do it without Hershey.
Now, they don't have the patent, do they, to how Hershey does it?
Who?
The other companies, you know, like...
Well, who makes Snicker bars? That's owned by Hershey's.
Oh, okay, same people. It's Mars, but they're Mars.
M&M Mars.
And that's owned by Hershey's. Oh, yes, they came out of the Hershey bar world. Okay.
They did. Now, there was no other competition other than Nestle.
Hmm.
And Nestle had a different process. But like Ghirardelli wasn't in the running. Cadbury wasn't in the running. It was just Hershey's and Nestle's. That's all there was.
Are you saying Cadbury hadn't happened yet?
No, they weren't even in comparison.
Did they Cadbury exist? Did they English. Exist at the time?
Yes, they were way before.
But
they English.
English?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're saying they could not compete with Hershey.
Hershey. They could not because they couldn't temper their chocolate. They didn't develop the tempering process that made a light, sweet milk chocolate that wouldn't just be melting immediately. You had to have a...
Yeah. Is Hershey, was it used during World War II?
Yes, it was. That was the whole Hershey bar block. It would last and stay chocolate and still be sweet and not bitter.
And then they improved on it after the war.
No, still the same formula today.
So why are we talking about after the war? So they achieved what you're saying they achieved before the war.
Yes, but if they hadn't achieved that, then you couldn't have a Snicker bar
or
any other candy bar because of the tempering process.
Well, what did you... The interesting part for me was the power dynamics, the fights for power, and then to find out that you got parallel worlders that are involved with the struggles here, and they sort of aren't seen or are seen.
Well, they're not necessarily involved in the struggles. They won't even acknowledge that you acknowledge them.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, but what was... King Henry VIII and King John, they lost their jewels, somebody stole them, and I thought it was parallel worlders stole them.
Yes, but that doesn't have anything to do. The parallel worlders weren't engaged in their conflict.
So who stole King... Did a baron steal King John's crowns, a baron of King John's world, just went through, like the Queen Mother took a side route, detour, went through and snuck in the back room and took them? Or did someone from the parallel world, who King John couldn't see, took the crown jewels for some reason?
Well, he wasn't sitting on them. They weren't held in London Tower at that point.
No.
That was a jail. They were in the palace guard. And the Baron of, what is it, Baron von Gloucester?
Yeah.
Is who got credited for their dispersal. But the only reason that was chosen that way was because, of course, as you well know, with the other families that weren't Tudors, had issues.
Yeah, King John was before the Tudors, wasn't he?
Exactly, yes.
You mentioned Tudors, but that's later. So, was the Tower of London, or in King John's day, which is like 1200, way back there, did they have the Tower of London jail or something
in
his day?
No, in the tower, it was a jail.
That's all it was. And,
right.
And when you mentioned the Palace Guard, that's at another building.
That's correct.
Right,
not Buckingham, it would have been... Well, I guess it would have been the foundation of Glasgow or Windsor.
Those are castles in London.
Castles, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the Baron stole the jewels. He's given credit.
Mm.
And where did he take them?
Home.
To another world?
Yes.
Was he a parallel worlder? Was he someone?
Well, he wouldn't have been able to, were he not.
So when did he show up from the parallel world? Well, he could show up any time, and, I mean, was he born in this world?
No.
Ah, okay. Whereas Moses was born, sort of. We haven't got that exact. It sort of implied he was born here, but then you start saying, well, where was his mother? So you're not too precise on that, but you're being precise on the Baron. He was not born here.
Right.
So how did he show up? What age did humans start to see him at? You know, how old was he when he was first seen?
We didn't say he was seen.
So he was never seen. So how come there's a record?
We didn't say he wasn't never seen. We didn't say either.
Right, well, let's find out when he was seen.
Well, he was in court. He was introduced in court. You understand that?
A grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody knew, nobody had seen his youth.
Right.
Right.
So nobody saw anybody's youth back in then. It's not like they took the metro to go to the capital.
Right, they're all fragmented miles away from each other.
And then they come and they have to have their papers, their pageantry.
If they're on the night level, I guess.
No. Knights don't have anything to do with royalty.
Oh, this is the royalty. They got to have their papers.
They got to have their papers.
Those papers are probably an interesting story. Where do they begin? You know what I mean? They begin in the nowhere place because there's no beginning, so the papers are probably curiously eternal.
Well, they have families, and families are heirs and joint heirs, and then they have crest, and then the crest come along, and then you gotta go. You're gonna go keep going back to the pre-Merlin at that gauge of heraldry, where you buy your endowment or your name, the indulgence. You can buy an indulgence, what they call them. Now, I mean, you know, you can be a lord or a lady of anything.
Right, just hold it. Hey, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
You want a parallel world travel and go experience.
Remember it. I'm doing it. I just want to remember it.
Yeah, well, you want to remember experience. This is an experience by hearing the story of King John. That's a parallel world experience. It's a story. It engages your attention. You're missing all these stories because you're focusing too much on one particular kind of movie to experience. That's why you should be interested in this. You don't know where the story's going to lead.
That's fine.
That's the problem. You specialize too much on one kind of experience. You want to have one kind of parallel world experience?
No.
Well, you should be listening. This is a parallel world experience.
I shouldn't do anything.
Yes, you should. You should be
listening. I'm listening. I'm half hearing it. I've got work to do as well. You can do my work for me if you want to, then. Then you wouldn't be able to ask any questions.
So the Baron, he presents himself. He can just, how does he show up? Does he suddenly appear in a moor? You know, or just shows up behind a tree out in the woods. No one's in. He's there.
He comes through a portal, Bob.
Right. Okay. He comes through a portal, and then he shows up at the centralized court, introduce himself as his paper.
No. You're invited to court. You have to send your footman forth that you are coming to call.
Yeah.
You have to be presented.
The footmen have to be acknowledged.
No, well, footmen, they're mailmen.
Right, so they say, hey, there's this guy, new guy on the block.
Your Majesty, or his assigns, the Grand Duke and Duchess of Gloucestershire is coming to court, and they bring great gifts for your honor and majesty, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the papers, here's the indulgence, here's where we are. They look at it and file and look, and the officers look at it and see if it's real or fake. They look in the empirical references of the Hall of Keepers. They see the colors, the coat of arms. They find that in a family lineage from way back in the back. That means that they do have this particular code of on their crest. That match, and they go, oh yeah, that's ain't
Yeah, they do all that kibitzing with the footmen.
And of course.
Yeah.
And then they get invited, and they get all in the, dressed up in their goo, and they go to the banquet, and they eat, and eat, and eat, and eat, and drink their bad wine, and have fun, and get drunk, and dance, and sleep with the wenches, and tame the shrews, and, you know, a good time is had by all. Well, then you're there for a bit of time in court, because it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Because the travel, when you get a court, you could stay there for a couple of months.
Okay, hold up. Fine, I need you a little question here. How, if he came from a parallel world, he made all his papers up to imitate something that was already a lineage.
No, he didn't.
They just...
Why would he have to do that?
Well, if he doesn't have any connection to anybody before he shows up, he shows up.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. If you're from that world, you come back, you can come back and be there.
I know, to come from that world. Which world are you from? You didn't
the one you came from.
Yeah, the other world. There's the other world, and you come over to this world. Now, you have all these papers, so you made up all these papers.
No, you didn't. You could come up, if you can come to parallel worlds, you can come to another world before that, find out which one it is that nobody's going to question, be that one, and you're good.
So you forged the papers.
No, no. You can go be those papers.
Well, how could he come here and hook himself up with a family since he could hardly be seen? Or maybe
he didn't have to hook yourself up with a family. In his world, he could go look in the same hall of records and see which age of pageantry that he would have an HRH status from and have that be the coat of arms that wasn't an issue or a problem.
Yeah,
and then he has his papers.
He has no involvement in this world.
This world has nothing to do with it, Bob. He has the same. You have the same king in his world as you have a king in the world that he came to.
Oh, it's the mirror, double, exact replica stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
Sorta, yes, some variation.
Okay, so that means there's a version of him already here.
No, that means that he can look in his world, get the documentation, and then he knows it. Okay? Once he knows it, to have that coat of arms, whether it's created or borrowed or assumed that he would be of this house, okay, then be foreign enough that the king wouldn't know them firsthand to say, how'd your mommer name?
Yeah.
And he'd say, my mommer died. And he's like, well, funny, she's here at court now. How could your mama die? She's present with us.
Right. So, those kind of questions that he has to bypass. And I'm just wondering how he finds a lineage that's far enough away that no one will know. You know, how do they do that? He's got
100 miles from Birminghamshire is an eternity away, especially back in those days because the world was flat.
Okay, so he could in the other world look up and say, oh, there's the Smiths. Now, I'll be a Smith, I'll get papers to confirm it, and I'll talk to the Smith that's over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Smiths do have replicates in his world, and they will talk to a Smith, and the Smith over in his world, the other world, said, well, you're not a Smith, but you're going over there to pretend you're a Smith? No problem. You know, the Smith in his world will not object to being told about the persona that the Baron's going to imitate.
Because the Baron could come in with the crest and the ring, the agate ring for the seal and the whole nine yards and has their indulgence. It'd be like your relatives questioning your documentation on your passport.
Right, so he makes up this documentation that says that he's part of the Smith clan and no one knows whether he is or not, so they accept the papers.
Because he has the papers.
Yeah.
You are who you say you are, Bob.
Okay, so he had the papers.
Even now.
Yeah, he has to make sure that there's no Smiths in the court who would... speak up and say, we don't remember, you're not my brother. You know what I mean? That just make sure that doesn't happen.
That's easy done, though.
How? By just checking it out.
Well, of course.
Yeah, because they can do all the surveillance. So he shows up. Why is he visible? This parallel world people?
To be.
You can make yourself visible. So those people...
Or invisible.
So the people on the beach have turned their visible button off, that couple.
No, you just see past their button.
Yeah, okay, so they thought they turned it off, so they couldn't be seen, right?
No, they couldn't be seen, Bob, but you could see past that.
Yeah, I could see them. But the...
whether or not their button was on or off, you could still see them.
Well, the others that don't see them...
aren't ascended.
No, the one aren't ascended. And the ones that do see them... no, no,
are
the ones ascended. So the ones that don't see them, are they subject to a button that the couple consciously emits?
No.
Hmm. So they don't care whether they just assume they're not going to be seen.
Right.
Ah, so they're surprised when someone shows up. But they could make themselves seen to the unascended if they wanted to?
They can.
Yeah, so what's the button that turns them on to make them visible to the unascended?
No, it's not so much a button. It's just an engagement where they have a face. They have a countenance about them. They become this vague countenance, like no one could remember them. Oh yes, we saw the Duke of Cornwall. He was here. Well, really, did you see the scar on his cheek? No, he has a beautiful complexion. We didn't see a scar. Well, did you like his wigged hair? Well, no, he was natural in his hair. It's sort of combed back to his hair.
Yeah, so people can't agree.
They don't now. Yeah, they don't agree now with your provable things. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they don't agree. So the you're saying his hair will change. Now, why will his hair change? This guy in the beach. Because he's a parallel worlder. Is something going on there that he can do?
Yes.
Does he want to make his hair darker for some reason?
He does.
Why?
Just wants it to be what you call younger looking.
So he can't make it dark immediately.
I'm sure he could.
So he's going to change. He doesn't have to tan it or anything. He's just going to change it.
Yes.
Because he can.
Yes, you just darken it. That's all you do.
What?
Just darken it. That's all you do.
You just imagine it's darker and it manifests.
Well, you can have... dye put on it, same thing, no problem.
Oh, so he might be putting dye on it?
Good. He chose to.
What would be another way to make it darker? Just think his way into it?
Stay out of the sunshine.
Oh, that'll make it darker?
Yes, sun bleaches it out.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't have all the sunshine, it won't be as still, will darken.
So the... So the Baron shows up, and is he coming over to take the crown jewels? Has he got a mission? Or did things happen that pissed him off? That he hadn't seen?
Well, we know the question, but we'd like you to clear it up a little, because we can't answer it from your place of asking.
Did he come over?
Either break it down or change the...
Yeah, did he come over with the intention to get the jewels?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. And where was he going to take them?
Home.
And why did he want them?
Was it this... well...
because they were his before? They were stolen from him?
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to take him back, and...
did take him back.
What difficulties does he have when he comes over that he has to be cautious about because his mission may fail? Or because he's invisible, it's no contest. He'll just go get them.
Right.
Did he want to create a scenario around it, a weird drama, so it looked like someone else took them?
Yeah, as good as reason as any, yeah.
Yeah, so he's working on getting them. And it's interesting, side thing. Oh, I can't talk about it on tape. Okay, so... interesting, there's been lightning over this island. And that may have affected some people.
Well, especially since you had the ascended master god saying that lightning no longer strikes the islands of Hawaii.
Yeah, that was said a long time ago. Hey, Carolyn, are you there? Is Carolyn listening?
Yeah.
Did you hear what I'm suggesting?
Yeah.
That the lightning has had its effect on some people.
Right.
Okay. It just occurred to me. So what is special about these jewels? Are they just jewels, or they were imbued with spiritual gift activating things, or like why was what was so special about the jewels?
What they represented.
Oh, okay. So what did they represent?
The monarchy.
Okay, the legacy, the history. It's almost like their heraldry. It's a sign.
Yes,
it's like their papers.
Very much so, yes.
Oh, what?
Can I wake you up?
I don't know. Whenever you have to get me up.
6 o'clock?
I don't know. Whenever.
We have to either get a 6:30 or a 7:30 bus, so maybe we'll get the 7:30 bus.
Well, is that soon enough?
No, it
takes an hour to get there.
You're not ready
it
yet.
It takes an hour to get there, right?
Right.
Well, and you got to be first to get the freshest stuff.
You got to be first, right, Karen? Got to be first to get there. Got to be first, right? Got to get there early.
Yeah. So I'll get you up at 5:45 or 5:30.
Yeah, better be 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good night.
Yeah.
Good night, Ion. Thank you.
Good night, my dear.
So, is there a deeper drama about grabbing the jewels? I mean, is he trying to destabilize?
No. He understands from his place that they are what you call imbued with power.
The power of being a monarchy?
No, the power of activating portals.
Ah, okay. And they would have that power because people used them to do that originally.
Yes.
They didn't have some other kind of power. They if you have these, you can open portals. You know, it was not, like, disconnected from it. It was symbiont. If somebody...
Good.
What?
Good.
Yeah, if someone activated a portal, he might have wore certain pants, and then he decides those pants help me activate the portal again. So the pants become imbued with the power.
Very good.
And then they're passed on to the initiates. Wear these pants and you can activate a portal, right? So the jewels, they're precious in themselves, but they had this extra function. So if he could activate portals already, and then he comes over and gets the jewels, is he taking away the activating of the portal from the King John heirs?
No.
Why does he want... He can activate portals, so why does he want those jewels?
Open different portals.
Oh, okay. Open different portals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if we had a map of the multiple universes, we'd see these portals going to all kinds of different places. Which one might want to have access to get a clear view of what's going on in the whole universe?
Maybe, and or to just transverse the worlds as they stack up.
Yeah, as they happen? Or
yes,
as
good.
They happen. I was just thinking that to become a... So, I look at those people on the beach, and they're dummies. They sit there all day, but now I find out they're ascended, maybe. For me to be ascended, I would have to say, gee, I can experience what those dummies experience, a pair of dummies. I can experience, okay, what was it? So if I realize everything's eternal, then you can't tell who's where, and then you relax on that point, and then you're ascended. You're on your way to being ascended.
On your way, yes.
And then in that sense, you can understand why there are people who've been becoming ascended eons ago. Eons ago.
Very good.
In fact, we may have been one of the original ascenders and then forgot for some reason. Maybe we forgot when we came to this world. We were really good portal travelers in other worlds, but this world threw us for a loop and we forgot. Carol and I forgot. Could that be a reasoning? Or we have... What?
Of course.
Okay, so the Baron takes the jewels. Did they ever get brought back?
Later, yes.
In by Henry VIII or someone before him?
Yes.
By someone before him?
Yes.
Was he a world traveler or a portal traveler? Henry VIII.
No, not so much. No. Many in the court were, but not specifically, only because there was this abject fear that if you left the throne, you forfeited your state of authority. So, no. He was intrigued by it, but couldn't, you know, he just couldn't.
Yeah, because someone would take it while he was away.
Potentially.
Yeah, so you say many in the court could do it. So a lot of people before the printing press could do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
More than after the printing press for a little while, but then people sort of go back to their power and it's okay.
Right. Now, were there people in the peasant level who could portal travel?
Of course.
All right, so everybody can do it. So the Dark Ages is the general world of science over the last 300 years, it's got everybody thinking no such things can happen. So if more and more people could portal travel over the next while, we're just returning to the 1400s, you know, to earlier pre-printing press era. We got detoured.
Yes, good.
Is there any benefits to this detour?
Well, it allowed the creators, through contrast, to figure out their capacity.
Capacity in doing other things, you mean?
Well, paralleling.
They created a detour, like getting cancer, and then they overcame it.
Yes, that's a way.
That's
they didn't do it back in those days, but...
Yeah, they didn't have that reason, but now we...
You know, scurvy would be a much bigger death rate than other ways now.
Scurvy,
You know, like...
Yeah, I know scurvy. I'm just thinking, you're saying...
They didn't have cancer back in those days. It had to be, you know...
They didn't have cancer. They had scurvy.
Mm-hmm. Or other things.
Yeah, or other things, right. So it was this detour, but we created this detour so that we could overcome it, enjoy the overcoming of no portal traveling for a few hundred years. We rediscover it. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Now, is Ion got more of an agenda than awakening people's portal traveling?
Yes.
We have other things to... Because it doesn't matter if you can portal travel, you still take yourself with you. But no, if you're ascended, that's what Ion is helping people to do. So if you're portal travel, you're an ascension person. So that's a marker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a marker, being a portal traveler.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But Ion has talked about how you take yourself wherever you go. And it's not, you've sort of hinted at, well, this is not the be-all, end-all, just a portal travel. Remember that thinking?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so in relation to some things, portal travelers is good. Is it an ascension? But there are other things that happen. I mean, can we evolve to the point of having access to all past, present, future, all worlds? Well, if I could think of it, you could do it. You could think it can be done. Is there ways of being beyond being a portal traveler?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We call that ascended master.
Yeah, whereas the portal traveler is just on the path of ascension.
Well, that's preschool, Bob.
Right. So, Ascended Master, all right, so what is intriguing about the crown jewels? Why did Ion cheer when I said, let's go back to Henry VIII, pick up that story? What is it that, Lou, are you waiting for me to find out something?
Yes, well, it's just the fun that you start looking at the empirically referenced
history.
Information.
Yeah.
Well, we don't call it history
because that's
history. It was just information and how incredible it was and foreign it was and important it was. So any other way to hide it would have been bad. But instead he just did it two halves and split the middle between their bathrooms and ours.
Okay, now you're starting to wander. Hold. So you were saying, let's see where you were. You were saying it was, I don't know what you were saying there. The portal, I don't know what the idea was.
You were talking about the dimensions of parallel travel.
No, it was something about why, what's important about King Henry? Why are you interested in that? Is that what we were talking about? Why is Ion interested in King Henry's world, and what is it that I'm to find out about it?
Well, just the dimensions of calculating why he didn't have to be a parallel traveler to gain the goodie from his bedroom to the bathroom. If you had a parallel world to get through the bedroom to the bathroom, that would be a pretty significant thing. But that's the finding your way to the bath to the toilet is not a big thing. You do that when you're just out of, you know, before you start preschool.
Yeah.
And that was what we were trying to give reference to, is that's just the beginning place.
And that's not sure what you've been saying, but it was something about the wonderful. You were saying it was wonderful back then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Didn't have time.
Right. In King Henry VIII's world.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, so you're pointing, so I found out that, okay, so was there other parallel world operations that affected King Henry?
Yes.
And what were they? What were an example of those worlds, that interaction?
The constant abominations with Spanish armadas.
Right.
Which is why Henry VIII had to marry Catherine of Aragon to start with.
The Battle of Spain.
Of all four old wars, well, they decimate all of them, and then a week later, they have another 1,000 galleon ships. Well, where did they get them? Drag them in.
So the famous Spanish Armada fights, and I think finally England, during Elizabeth, beat the Spanish Armada back, and, you know, 15.
Yes, and she did that by activating a storm in the English Channel that destroyed
the
ship.
And now she did that. Did
she controlled the winds and the waves. They obeyed her will.
It's almost like if we read the hymns of those days, we could take them literally.
You should.
Yeah, when they sing of Queen Elizabeth, what she could do. She ruled the waves. Well, she literally could rule the waves. She could orchestrate them. So she did that, and did she have parallel world help?
Certainly.
That means that she went over there and...
No, they came to her.
And did another faction come to Spain?
Sometimes.
Yeah, so that it represented... There were factions in the parallel world that lined them, that fought each other in our world.
Right.
Much like Fringe.
Much like Fringe. Very good.
Yeah, so Fringe is showing us the way a large part of history was, or is.
Is. Good, Spain. good. See, you're catching
it.
You're even catching yourself. Good for you.
Yeah, the history is. The times are spent, stacked up nows are. Now, are we... Since we were detoured for a few hundred years, nobody really admitted it, but a few people did get to do it. The Ben Franklin, was he a parallel world traveler?
You've asked that already.
Yes.
And we said yes.
Oh, okay. That's how he got the key.
Well, the key was insignificant. He was the only reason. That doesn't work, Bob.
The iridium plated key.
Iridium.
Yeah.
The key wasn't the key reference. It wasn't even the shape of a key. It was iridium.
Hmm.
But the point of it is it was the key that allowed him the credit for discovering electricity.
It was the key
It was a very shocking experience.
Yeah, the key allowed him to do it? Is that what you said?
No, it was portrayed in your history as a key because it was the key to what you call discovering of electricity or electric current.
It was the key that attracted the electrical lightning.
Well, it wasn't really a key, but it was the key.
Oh, it was the key. So what was the key?
Iridium.
Is it some kind of metal?
Yes.
And that, he coated his kite with that?
No, he coated the key with
it. Oh, and that attracted the lightning.
Yes.
Oh, I see. The iridium made it happen. Okay. So he learned that...
Electrical current, ever how big, doesn't flow through, cotton...
Yeah. You can't get it to hit the kite. Okay. So
it may hit the kite, but it won't run down a cotton string.
And he wanted to run... He wanted to run to something, but by hitting the iridium?
Well, yeah.
He just wanted to hit the kite, I guess.
He did.
To prove something. Can't remember what the basic point
to
was.
To prove that kinetic energy can be gathered, collected, and imbued. And that, if you had a way to store that pent-up kinetic energy, you could run the world just from the last thunderstrike to the next one as lightning moves and comes and goes.
Okay, so the... he did not have engagement with parallel world travelers in this world. He went to the other world.
Well, just easy. We don't want to get crossways of our answer. Yes, from where you're asking, that would be the appropriate response. But over time, you get to better at being able to navigate.
Yeah, and others can come back with you.
Good. There you go. That's exactly right.
So a lot of creation in science involves parallel world activity that the priests of science say, no, that's not part of anything. That's woo-woo. You know what I mean? There's actually way more woo-woo involved in the actual inventions. That's the point to rely on. There's nothing about woo-woo involved, and parallel worlds being the woo-woo.
Yeah, well, then the only reason it's woo-woo is because you don't understand it. Once
yeah.
you understand it, it ain't. It becomes microwave radiation. It's okay.
Right. Okay, so we had a few examples here. King Henry. Well, what happened to the jewels? Who has them now, the real jewels?
They're back.
They're back in Queen Elizabeth's property.
Tower of London. They're not her property.
All right, and they're the real ones.
Well, until we agree, then you'll go proving that they're not, so yeah.
Yeah, so they're not the real ones. Where are the real ones?
Well,
who's using them?
Which ones were real from that aspect? If they adopt them as the crown jewels, it makes no difference. If they're not the original ones, they're still the real ones.
Because they imbue, they still will activate portals.
They can, they do, and they do.
Yeah, because it's imbued with that. So
why do you think the Buckingham Palace guards have to be perfectly still?
I don't know.
But their big rip is that you can't make a move, and they stay at attention for all those hours, and you can make faces and do anything you want to do, and they just silent. They don't move at all. They don't even wink.
So they're parallel worlders.
No, they're not.
Well, it's pretty inhuman standing there like that. I don't know how they do it.
Well, the reason they do it is they're trained to do it.
Yeah.
And that's because there is no time. stops time. So if a portal at Buckingham Palace in the outside of the changing of the guard occurred, it would be perfectly unnoticed because of them standing guard in perfect silence, you know, perfect stillness.
It, because they're still and a portal's activated near them.
If there's a little quiver in the your time equivalent, it wouldn't be noticed by you.
If you were walking by and the guards were normal, they would have reacted to it.
Well, no, you would have seen the anomaly, you see. You'd have seen
I would have seen if a person walking by, not the guards, would have seen the wrinkling.
Right. But if everybody's perfectly, perfectly still, there is no wrinkling. It becomes
anomalous. I see. So the guards are there to abet, to help the portal traveling of the royalty.
Well, of not just royalty, because
of anybody, those in the know.
Good. There you go. There you go. Very good.
Yeah. So there's no rippling. So someone can. If I'm walking by and I look and there's no one in the walkway, and then I look away, then I look back. Oh, there's someone in the walkway. My mind will fill in how they got there, not realizing they manifested. Or they wouldn't even be seen.
Exactly.
Okay. So there's a lot of unseen stuff going on. I see.
Well, until you can see it.
Yeah. Now, for some reason, Carol and I can see all this stuff.
Well, because you're in your process of coming into your place of knowing, yes.
Yeah, it's like we're giants and our minds are little puny Lilliputians. We still think we're living here. And here we are seeing other worlds and not know. We're what is it, 3, 2, 1, we're doing the Bob thing, you know. It just shows up. Well, yeah, we see other worlds. I don't know how it happens, but we did it. We do it.
You'll do it. Good.
Okay,
I'm going.
Oh, we're going to end soon. It's okay. Time to end. So when Ayan says that there's like a third of the world's population are parallel worlders.
At any given time, yes.
They what?
At any given time.
Yeah, and they are invisible.
No, they're not necessarily invisible.
Right, they can be
but
seen.
But they certainly can be. If they ascend to the place where they don't want to engage, they can absolutely become the anomaly. No big deal.
Right, so there's a lot of people. We don't go around adding up the 7 billion. It's just speculated that there's 6 to 7 billion, right? It's just assumed. Perfect. And there may actually be only 4 billion human beings and another 3 billion that are visible sometimes and not so visible.
Very good.
Yeah, that would explain. So there are,
explains lots of things.
Yeah, there's only actually 4 billion humans on the planet. But there are another 3 billion that appear and not appear. And when we do see them, or other people see them, they give the illusion that there's more than 4 billion.
Good.
Something like that. Oh, that's interesting.
Good. But they haven't counted them, so how do they know?
Yeah, I don't even know how they get the... I guess they just...
Well, exactly. They just go to MSU.
But if we think there's a lot of... Like, Ayan does go with the idea that there's a lot of people. How come we have more people than were 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago? Whereas Ayan knows there are more people here. We can't see half of them.
Very good.
And sometimes we can see them, though, and then it looks like there's a lot of people here. How's this compound doing for occupancy? Has it gone up a bit?
A little bit, just from the holiday season.
Right. Is it getting worse? Are the beaches and the Grand Wilaya, the Four Seasons, Fairmont, are they going to get as many people as booked in to come for the Christmas holidays?
Booked in to come, yes. If somebody pays money and books it, if they are...
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter if they come or not. Yeah.
They don't care if they come or not, but once their dollar's down, then, it's in their best interest to show up.
Right, so are they going to get by this Christmas season, or is it going to be a depressing?
Well, they're already way in the hole, but this is a pretty big time. So this people are in snow and bad weather and cold.
Hmm.
You know, it's just starting, and this becomes a lot of times A lot of times, a lot of people engage their holidays on the islands just because it's very nice.
So they're guaranteed of those instant spontaneous decisions to come. So they're in the hole.
They're not instant and spontaneous. They do it every year, and they plan it and book it and buy it. And,
so do you see the depression? The depression.
Sorry.
Will the depression in Maui get worse? Or is it dependent on the creators?
It's up to the creators, yes.
About given that, is there some level of projection you can make?
Well, yeah, there is no money, and there is no time, and there is no time deposits, and everything's crumbled. So from your eye of perspective, you may see some more decline.
But if I didn't think that way, I wouldn't see a decline.
For you, that's correct. But it may be that you get so many on the beach that you could walk to the beach and can't go because there's so many people on the beach.
Yeah, if
you don't fit, and that would suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I might tend to favor the depression side so I can less people.
Sure, let the world fall as long as it doesn't have to fall on you. What do you care?
Okay, so we...
Not in my world, as Queen Mary would say.
It used to be Queen Victoria, I think, said that. It's got mixed up.
Many of them did.
Ah, okay.
They understood the dynamic of worlds.
Right, not my world. So you got, you know, I was going to say this last night. McClellan wrote about how the medieval world was unified,
mm-hmm.
and then the printing press cracked up.
Undividedly unified.
Undividedly, yeah. That means.
So they weren't together, but they were unified.
Yeah, and the way he romanticized or idealized or realized it was better, I don't know, in a practical sense. The fact it was unified, Ion would agree with that if you include the multi-sensuous experiences and inter-world realities that the medieval era had, could be considered better than what came with the printing press.
Perfect, yes,
yeah.
Because they could print a lie on the printing press and it became the God's truth.
Right. So we have...
But everywhere else, they got to play it out to see its truth. If you had honor and you didn't have to buy an indulgence, your worth would be tried from your exposure and experience through experience, not through because this piece of paper said it.
Yeah. So right now, how is the parallel world with us, the dialogue going on? I mean, they were involved with 911. What are they interested in right now?
How you're going to play out this calamity.
Right, and so the 14 group has parallel world people in there that can or cannot be seen. That's the...
Correct.
Yeah. And did one of
you've got human creators that can't be seen right here in this world.
Right. And so the German Jewish scientists that were involved with the Nazis, did they see parallel world travelers, become to know them, maybe did some parallel worlding themselves? So,
yes.
So that's...
They were superior. They were ascended, so certainly they could.
Who were superior?
The Nazis. The Third Reich.
Because they felt superior, you mean?
Because they said they were.
So they became superior.
And then, and if you said this, not, and they would whoop the man that said it wasn't so.
So they kept that ability, that attitude, after World War II and came and reigned over the Pentagon.
Very Aryan of them, isn't it?
Yeah. And now, were they parallel world travelers, or were they just...
No, not necessarily.
But they knew of them, or...
Well, of course.
Right.
They didn't push against the concept. They embraced it and got the good from it.
So they're watching the parallel world. Do they have any stake in what's happening? They did have a stake in 911 because they wanted the papers. How come they would be concerned about the papers and bonds?
They weren't necessarily. That wasn't for them.
No, it was for the humans of this world.
Well, they were human, but it was for this country's problem, not their problem.
They were trying to help this world in a way, this country.
Relative, yes.
But
helping them by providing a little contrast.
Right, right. So is Saint
stirring it up a bit.
Was
certainly to get an orgasm if you stir it long enough.
Yeah. Is Saint Germain a parallel world or?
Well, of course, Bob. We've mentioned that about 9,215 times so far.
But did he ascend to that, or did he come from a parallel?
He had to. You can't parallel travel if you don't ascend to that place. You can't.
Okay.
No matter who you are, where you come from, you can't.
Right. Was he born in this world?
We've answered and asked that. No, he was not born.
Okay. That's interesting. So he's one of the old gray eminences of the parallel worlders.
Yeah.
There may be others who have been here longer, but he certainly...
What's longer? Now you're going into time, so...
Okay, Saint Germain on the level of ascended master, mutate whole
worlds. I didn't say ascended master, we said ascended.
No, the path of ascension. But then there were those ascended masters who could mutate whole worlds or go beyond the parallel world dynamic.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we won't bark you on it because that is a true statement. But to make that statement from non-physical then sets you into the place as a creator, and everyone else who would ever hear this would beat themselves to death trying to unknow it.
Yeah, or to think they're inferior. You mean less.
Right, because it becomes an inferiority complexing, perplexing place.
Was Queen Elizabeth an ascended master?
No.
But she could somehow make the waves go her way.
They do. They do for you, too.
Oh, so she became aware of it.
And she took her power back. That's what we're trying to get you to do. Yeah, good.
Now, did the Spanish or Manta have anybody that could mutate the waves, too?
Yes.
So how come they lost out to her?
Then it becomes a test of the wills, isn't it?
Yeah, so that can happen.
Well, of course, Bob, because you're co-creating all the time. People engage and they disengage and they play and they don't play and they get mad and they get crossways with themselves and then they figure out who to place the blame on and then we're going to come kill you if you don't play our way. Well, you're not playing my way in my world. This is my world. You can do what you want to in your world, but... Out of mind.
What is the advantage of getting of Queen Elizabeth getting the power, and she has a team of parallel worlders? What is the comfort they get out of it?
Well, it's called HRH. You get HRH status, which is pretty good to be the queen, Bob.
Oh, okay. So that still seems to be a strong motivating point in human ambition.
Well, how does ambition make you the sitting king of a monarchy? Ambition doesn't have anything to do with it. You come to it.
Yeah.
You're groomed to it, I guess is the right way to say it.
Right. So and Little Rouge was complaining about the little queen the other day. This was a December 3rd speech, and he was talking about how the queen said a week or two before, we command one-third of the planet, the Commonwealth.
Yes.
And he was mad at the little queen. He just thinks she's silly.
She doesn't.
Yeah, and so I was listening to him.
It really doesn't matter what he thinks, does it? It matters what she thinks of it.
Yeah, and so it was interesting hearing him go on about this while thinking of the information we now have of the queen and what they can do. LaRouche would be quite shocked.
That little Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah.
You know, good luck with that one. So, it's all relative.
All LaRouche admires Roosevelt.
Well, that's why we used it as an experience that you could play with.
Right, you were saying that back at him. I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a little guy? Well, you think the queen's little? Well, your guy's little. Okay, good. So, you knew he was into Roosevelt. Very good.
Of course.
So, I think are we engaging with these power struggles? I don't think I am wants to do that.
No, we aren't. You may. Please yourself.
Yeah, but as soon as we evaporated, you guys. Now, if we evaporate the guff, those in the guff can come forward here, right?
They will.
They will, right. So you'll be joining us. You'll be able to enjoy these struggles.
May you rest in peace till we get there.
Okay, well, we'll end on that point then. Thank you very much.
Very wonderful. Great fun.
Thank you.
We look forward to playing all day, every day.
All right. Thank you, Ion.
Yes, indeed. It's our pleasure. Good day.
Good day.